Welcome to the Steve's Dying Guitar Podcast, brought to you by GuitarZoom.com. If you want to improve your guitar playing, keep listening. If you want to improve even faster, go to GuitarZoom.com, where you'll find all of Steve's premium courses, masterclasses, and memberships that'll help you quickly and easily improve your playing. Now, here's your host, Steve Stein.
What we're going to be doing today is we're going to be focusing on the key of G major. Now, oftentimes I do pentatonic, and I get a lot of people that request that I do things more diatonic once in a while, too. So that's what we're going to do today. So what I'm going to be doing today is I'm going to be using this right here, the G major scale. And you'll notice I have a little bit of delay on my guitar, a little bit of reverb, some things like that. Just because we're going to be talking about soloing. So I've got my Hughes and Kentner set up with some of these different things on there. You can have your guitar set up however you like. It's perfectly fine. But the big thing here is we're going to be using those notes. Okay. Now that can be expanded out, and I'm going to show you the rest of this. And again, this isn't going to be just about how to play a scale. If that's where you are in your soloing or in your journey on guitar, that's perfectly fine, okay? I'm going to go through a lot of different things. So you just have to relate this to wherever you are. If you're doing pentatonic, then relate it to pentatonic, and it's perfectly fine. So let me give you the whole thing, and this is in your PDF as well. I'm going to play this whole shape that we're going to be talking about right here. And what we're really doing right there is we're playing seven notes, the Do, Re, Mi, Fa, Sol, La, Ti, Do scale. And then we're playing another octave of it. And then we're playing the rest of it before we run out of strings. And then I run out of strings right there, so that's as far as I can go. Now again, you might know your G major scale right here. And it's okay. The point isn't the scale or the shape that I'm playing. The point is just understanding that one of the tools that you have is the availability of being able to see some sort of a scale across the fretboard. Now, if all I knew was this one position of G major, that doesn't mean I can't make music with it. I can certainly make music with it. But if I know how to play those notes, which in this case, again, I'm playing G major, G, A, B, C, D, E, and F sharp over and over and over, the more availability I have to be able to play those in different places across the guitar, the more creative I can possibly get. Now, we've got a long way to go here and a lot of stuff to talk about, but just please understand that. If I was given a jam track, and I've got a jam track here that I'm going to use, okay? And this is in the key of G. Now, I'm just going to play a scale. I'm not going to try and get all fast and get overly melodic or anything like that. I'm just going to try and play the scale, and I'm just going to show you this here. So here I go. So I could definitely make some music inside this position, and we're going to learn how to do that. That's something we're going to be talking about. But one thing I really want you to be aware of is, as a guitar player, I want to continually try and find things that keep me interested in playing. I need to stay motivated. I need this instrument to be exciting for me, so I want to pick it up every day and practice. Along the way, if you get the opportunity, I also want this to be interesting to somebody who's listening or who's watching me play. And so it's not just me, it's also an interaction with somebody else, whether it's my band or people that, you know, come out to see me play or whatever it might be. And I have found that the more mastery, if you will, of my fretboard and how to play a particular scale on my fretboard, the more options I have to move around and do something interesting. That doesn't equate to better just because you can do it, but it certainly gives you more opportunity. And I always think of it like if you were driving to the grocery store, you're driving to, you know, who knows where you're driving to. If you have more options of roads, you can choose to drive somewhere because you want to get there quickly, or you want to drive a particular way because it's more scenic or it's more interesting, or you want to stop and visit somebody. There's a million different reasons why you would do it. If you were only given one option, it probably would get awfully boring after a while. So learning how to visualize your scales is really important. So what I want you to do, I'm going to make sure in the PDF that there is a picture of this G major scale that I just played. And then we're also going to give you a picture of the entire G major scale across the whole fretboard. And I don't want it to intimidate you, and I don't want it to be confusing. I just want you to see the difference between seeing it in one spot on the guitar and then being able to see it across the entire fretboard. Okay, so now let's start that same jam track over. And I'm not going to try and play overly melodic or anything. I'm just trying to play. But this time what I want to do is move around a little bit more. I'm going to use more of my fretboard, okay? I'm not trying to do anything crazy. I'm just trying to utilize more of the fretboard. And when I do that, it gives me more opportunity in different positions, obviously. It gives me more opportunity in low sounds and kind of middle sounds and really high sounds with my thinner strings, right? Things like that I couldn't do if I just played down here. The other thing is with all these different positions, it enables me to see more ideas like arpeggios, for instance. Maybe I want to see something on my guitar. That becomes a little more interesting, and it moves me across the guitar this way, creates more of a flow. And there's certainly the opportunity to be able to take one string and do things like that as well, where I'm just moving on a single string and trying to create some stuff. So the point is I don't want you to limit yourself just because you're in a practicing stage. We're all practicing. Everybody, okay? Every guitar player out there. But if you limit yourself by going, well, this is all I need and I feel comfortable here, every once in a while, break out of that comfort zone and try and figure out something else that might take you to the next level. And for me, one part of that is certainly being able to see your scales in multiple positions across a fretboard. I'm not saying you have to do them all. I'm not saying you have to do them in all the keys. That's an entirely different thing for each guitar player. But having that freedom is certainly going to give you more confidence and more availability to get more creative. Second part of this is learning how to see chords across the guitar. This is really, really important as well. So if you think about it, if I wanted to play a song, let's say I was playing the rhythm part to this song. And the first chord that I'm playing, this thing is actually going G, B minor, C, and D. Okay, but let's just say I was playing that G chord. Now, if you think back when you first started learning how to play guitar, you may have only known the open chord of G. And then somewhere along the line, you learn how to play a G bar chord. And then you learn how to play a fifth string G bar chord. You know, different kinds of things like that. And then eventually you learn how to play what's referred to as a caged chording system, which allows you to see whatever chord you want across the entire fretboard. Now, again, these are all different studies. And I'm not telling you, because there's a lot of people viewing this, I'm not telling just you that you have to do all this and you have to have it done by a certain amount of time. I'm just saying, again, it gives you freedom. So if I'm jamming with somebody and they're going, let's just say they're doing that G chord. And so I go up and I try and find somewhere else to play this G, right? So I'm going to move up and I'm going to do G here. So I'm doing this fifth string bar chord. And I start kind of doing this little picking thing. And I kind of like that, right? So somebody else is playing this G chord and I've gone up to another chordal shape of the same chord, right? But just somewhere else on the guitar. Let's say I go up, I take D and I move D up until it becomes G, right? So I take the eighth fret of the second string and the seventh fret of the third string. And I start doing something like that along with this other person that's playing. And I'm going. Something like that, right? It gives me availability to do something a little bit different somewhere else on the guitar instead of just playing this chord. Now, after a little while, we're going to learn how these merge together and how important that is. But that's visualizing your fretboard. That's one of the most crucial tools you can have. If you can see it, you can play it. That doesn't mean you can play it well necessarily. That's a whole nother category, okay? But you are able to utilize it. So that brings us to the second soloing tool, which is technique, which is the answer. If you can see it and you can play it, but you can't play it very well, well, technique is where you come in. Now, there's often arguments with guitar players on technique on whether or not you should be able to play this fast or be able to do this sweep or do this string skipping thing. Those are all personal preferences. I'm just saying the more control you have with what you can see and the availability to use your fingers on your guitar with what you're seeing, the more confidence you have, the more attitude you can have when you play, right? So if I'm looking at my guitar and I want to do something in the key of G, right? So this thing's playing again. Let me start this little jam track here. And I do this. Something like that. Okay? Well, now all of a sudden, what I'm doing is a series of hammer-ons and pull-offs. I'm just playing here, so I don't really know what I'm doing, but I'm using hammer-ons and pull-offs, and in order to do that, I've got to have a certain amount of strength, flexibility, and dexterity in these fingers to be able to do that. So for me, I always break technique down into really two different things, kind of three, but certainly two. Your left hand ability, which is your fretting hand, unless you're, you know, playing the other direction, then it's fine too. But if you think about it as your fretting hand and having that strength of individual fingers, developing that is going to be really important because that allows you to execute certain things on your fretboard that you can see. The next thing is the picking hand, which for me is my right hand, right? So my picking hand, I've got to be able to pick at the speed that my hand is moving at. Now, I can learn to pick a lot faster if I choose to. You know, do all these sorts of things, and that's fine too. Okay, but at the very least, I need to be able to pick wherever this hand is choosing to go to make things happen. So I'm combining now my visualization of my G major scale with the availability of having my left hand, the strength of my left hand, and the accuracy of my picking hand work together to move me across the fretboard. Okay. Now, that doesn't mean that I have the creativity or the musicality yet, but these are tools to get us there. Okay? So the next thing that I want you to think about, and we're going to chat just a little bit about this, is understanding. Fretboard understanding. And I always refer to this as guitar theory and not music theory because it depends on what world you come from. If you are a music theory person, let's say you grew up and you had, you know, 15 years of piano lessons or something, you probably know your music theory quite well. Maybe, maybe not. Where another guitar player might have just come from this whole world of rock and roll and doesn't really understand a lot of theory and key signatures and all these things, but they do understand how music kind of works together from a visual perspective. And I often refer to that as guitar theory. But my point is that there's got to be something that makes sense. When this chord is being played, which is a G chord, it's giving you some element of information that then should tell you what your options might be on your fretboard. If you hear that G and you don't think of anything, that's where guitar theory might become very beneficial for you because you're thinking, okay, well, this G chord's being played. The notes are G, B, and D, for instance. So when I go to solo, I might decide I want to try and emphasize the note B, right? So I do it as a bend. And I just went to the note B, and it works just fine over the top of that. Or maybe you don't know your theory, and you don't know all your notes on your fretboard, but you are able to go, well, G, okay, so I see a G chord right here. So that enables me to visualize the notes of that G chord, even though I don't know what they are, even though I don't know my theory, right? But I do know that if this chord is being played, all of these notes become notes that I can emphasize or try and land on within the context of my solo. You see? And that's where melody starts coming in. Now, the next chord pops up. The next chord, for instance, in this particular chord progression is B minor. Well, then B minor pops up. And I can see B minor in different places, like the visualization part we talked about. Now, that gives me availability again to try and emphasize something within those chords. Now, we're going to get to that in just a little while. but this is crucial to your playing. So your ability to see something on your fretboard, maybe you can't see everything. Maybe you can't see all the chords or all the positions of a scale, but you can see something, right? And you're kind of learning how they work together. Okay, so we can see it. We're able to play to a certain degree with our fingers, be able to execute the things we want to do. And then the third part is understanding, having some basic sense of this chord is being played, so these are some options that I have, either because I know my theory or because I can see things on my guitar. Okay? So hopefully that makes sense to you, okay? Again, these could go on for hours. We could talk for 10 hours just about these things. And we don't have that kind of time, unfortunately, but I do want you to be aware of that. So one thing that you want to do is start sculpting your journey, your guitar journey. So instead of always just being blinded by the bright light syndrome, which is what guitar players have, where we start working on something and then, oh, hey, this, and then we start working on this and then go, oh, well, look at that. That's shiny. And then we start working on that. And we're just all over the place, as opposed to trying to focus on something that we know we really need. And we just have to take the time and develop it. Because once we've fully developed whatever this concept is that we're trying to work on, it becomes ours. And we own it. And we can use it. Right? And we can become confident with our playing and all these other things that can happen. Then we can move on to the next thing. But if we're just jumping around like a frog all the time, just moving around, it's hard to bring all this stuff in and really start building a path for ourselves. So for me, I always tell people dream. And enjoy the ride, right? Enjoy the journey and learn all kinds of different things. But if you're trying to work on the core of you, if you're trying to develop something that is absolutely quintessential you that you can use when you jam with other people or you play on stage or you write songs or whatever, you've got to start developing that. And you don't just develop that from, you know, flying around trying different things, but you develop that by really trying to focus on something that's going to make a big difference in your playing. Okay, so that's the first section, which is the soloing tools. It's really important for us to think about that. Okay, and let's talk about the second part of this, and hopefully you've got your guitar with you. Okay, let me just get my notes out of the way a little bit here. Thank you so much. Okay, give me a thumbs up or a yes if you're learning something here that's going to be able to help you. Again, always remember that no one can give you all the answers. But oftentimes what we can do is try and provide you with direction. And that's what I always try and do, is give you direction to something that's useful in your life. Okay. Whether you buy a course or not, as long as it's offering you some sort of direction, some sort of element that you can focus in on and get better at, that's so important. Okay. So the next thing we're going to do is we're going to be focusing, you'll find this in your PDF, creativity on the fretboard. Once you've developed being able to see elements on the guitar, positions of a scale, whatever it might be, okay? And you start developing technique. Like every day when you grab the guitar, the first thing you do for 20 or 30 minutes is you just roll through some exercises to get your fingers stronger and more articulate, and they understand each other a little bit better, all those kind of things, right? Then once we get to that third part, which was the understanding the guitar theory thing, okay, that's where we kind of bleed into this second section here, which is creativity on the fretboard. And this is where we start seeing the execution idea of escape routes, is learning how to connect ideas, licks, patterns, sequences, whatever they might be, through movement across the guitar, and then ultimately learning how to phrase as well. Okay?
If you're enjoying this episode and you'd like to support the podcast, go to guitarzoom.com and consider becoming a premium member. There are three memberships to choose from. VIP, which gives you instant access to a library of short but powerful courses as well as new bite-sized lessons each month. There's also Play Songs that gives you step-by-step lessons so you can learn to play your favorite songs fast. And finally, there's Masterclass, university-level training on everything from soloing to music theory, from blues to home recording. For more info about these memberships and all the premium courses available to you, go to guitarzoom.com. Now back to the podcast.
So, creativity on the fretboard. So the first thing that I tell people is once you've started learning how to kind of play a position, a scale position, for instance, the next thing you want to do with that is you want to start learning how to do a technique that I refer to as meandering. And basically what meandering is taking a metronome or a drum machine or whatever it is you have, And it could just be a jam track or something too, but make sure that it's a tempo that's comfortable for you. And what meandering does is it starts enabling you to understand where your limitations are in your ability to see the fretboard and move across the fretboard. So we're not creative yet. We're just learning how to make these two things kind of merge together. So let's say we took a metronome and we said we're going to be going dun 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 dun. And you could choose any speed, any tempo, okay? But let's say I took this first position of G major. And one of the things that I'm doing is I'm practicing it every day with a metronome going up and going down, right? Which is a very common thing for guitar players to practice. That's great. And we want to do that, no doubt about it. But meandering isn't that. What meandering is you're going to start injecting confusion into your brain, which means our tempo needs to be a little bit slower. So we've got time to think and process and then execute. So what happens is once we set our tempo, we start moving around inside the scale, but we're not allowed to move just up and down, and we're not allowed to stop. Okay, so what you're going to do is set your metronome and you're going to start going dun 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 dun, and you're just going to move around. Now, it's not making any sense musically right now, but what's happening is you're disengaging from just playing it up and down all the time. And you're trying to see whether or not your brain and your fingers will allow you to jump over a string or go a different direction or take a different route across this position that we're playing in. And eventually you start doing that with all the positions. You can do each position alone, or you can start bulking them together and start practicing things like this. So as the music is playing, let's take our little jam track here. Now it's going to be a little slow for me, but this is the idea. Now, what you're going to notice is it doesn't sound very musical yet, and it's not going to. The point is it's training you to understand how well can you see that position or those two positions together? How well are you able to have your picking hand follow your fretting hand around without stopping and without just moving into your route playing, which is up and down the scale, but moving in and out and back and forth and up and down and side to side and all these different things that you can do without stopping? If you wind up stopping a lot, it probably means that either A, your tempo is too fast and you need to slow it down a little bit, or B, you need more practice in one of those first things that we talked about. So meandering for me is one of the greatest things that you can practice, okay? Because it really starts showing you, prepping you for the next level, which is really learning how to make that music, create that solo, okay? So the second aspect of this is once you start learning how to meander, okay? Then what you do is you start chopping that meandering into pieces, which is what we refer to as phrasing. And again, we're not really doing it consciously on this higher musical level, but as I start doing that, you're going to notice it begins to sound a little bit more like music. Now watch, I'm going to do the exact same thing. It's not overly musical yet, right? But as I do it, it starts sounding more like music because there's longer and shorter sentences, aka phrasing, right? So here we go. I'm saying? So as I start stopping in different places, it begins to sound a little bit more like music. Now, I don't want them all to be cut in the same shape. Right? I don't want them all to go da 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 da. I want them to be different sizes. And I want my meandering to constantly be shifting too. So you can see the beginnings of something that sounds a little bit more like a solo. Okay? Now, from there, what we're going to do is we're going to start creating repetition. And this leads us into the concept of escape routes, understanding scales and licks, and how we learn how to move between these. So what happens with a lick, a pattern, or a sequence, which really for me, all those things kind of mean is it's something on the fretboard that's getting repeated, right? It engages somebody as we're playing. So let's say it was doing something like this, okay? I'll do a close-up shot here. Okay, so let's just look at what I'm doing here. And again, you could make anything you want. I'm just making something up here. So I'm doing a hammer-on from 7 to 8 to 10 on the second string. Then I'm going down to 7 on the first string. And then I'm doing a pull-off from 10, 8, and 7. And then I'm going to the 9 of the third string. And the way I'm picking this, although yours might be different, I'm picking this one with a down. And then I'm picking this 7 with a down, and I'm picking this 10 with an up. Now, I'm not saying that's the right way for you to do it. I'm just telling you what I'm doing. And then this one, this 9 here is a down, which pushes right back to the down of the 7. So they both kind of connect to each other. Okay, so my point is let's say I was developing a lick or a pattern that you probably know a number of different licks or sequences or something on your fretboard. But basically, again, the idea is when we're meandering, we're just kind of moving around. Well, when we do something that can be practiced in repetition, we can gain strength and speed in that product that we're practicing. So we're able to execute it at a much more faster level, a much more aggressive and energetic level. So when we're playing, we drop in. And again, I'm never trying to sell somebody that faster is better than slower. In my world, you need them both. You need all of it. Okay. That's what dynamic is all about, is being, you have to have a variety of different things. If you're just playing slow all the time, it gets boring. If you're playing fast all the time, it gets boring. There's got to be something in the middle where you're thinking about other things than just how fast or slow you're playing. There's other musical elements to think about as well. But my point is that it is nice to have something that you can execute and bring energy to your solo that people engage in. Certainly a listener where they go, oh, wow, I get that. Because as soon as that's the point of a chorus of a song, it's something that repeats and people hear it and go, okay, I'm engaged now. So if we took this idea of this lick, what I want you to understand is, let's say you really like this lick and you were developing it, which I have lots of different guitar courses that talk about licks and different things like that. But it started occurring to me that a lot of times what happens with people is they develop a lick or they develop a pattern or whatever it is, but they don't really think about how it connects to the next thing, because you've got to escape from this. You got to get out of this. Once you've started playing it, you've got to find a way of being able to move away from it into something else. And there's a couple of different ways that you can focus on what I refer to as escape routes, which is what the guitar course is about, is learning to think about moving up or down from the element that you're on right now, or moving right or left on what you're doing. So if you think about it, if I'm playing this, I have to first define what finger is going to be my escape route. So let's decide I want my escape route to be my pinky. What that means is, as I'm playing this lick, I need to be aware that once I hit that pinky at some stage, I'm going to need to move. Now I could, once I hit that pinky, I could move that direction, or I could move that direction. But it's something worth thinking about, because if I move on my pinky, what that means is, let's say I'm shifting from here, right here. What I have to be aware of is if I'm on this pinky right now, that means that the next thing that has to happen is going to be lower than my pinky, because my pinky is the highest finger that I have. So I've got to have something that I can execute after that movement. I've got to have a lick or a motion or a meander or something that I've got to think about that comes afterward, because I've wound up in this position. If I had done this, And see how I moved from my first finger, I just slid up one fret to where my middle finger used to be. But what that did was it moved me into a new position on the guitar, which enables me then to do something completely different. But because I'm on my first finger, I know I can work on this side. So the whole concept of escape route is to understand that even though we're developing ideas on the guitar through repetition, through practice, you know, using licks or patterns or whatever it is that we're learning how to do, let me kind of define this before I move on too. Oftentimes I will see people that stay in the active brain mode. And let me, for lack of a better term, because I don't know what to call it right now. But it's when music is playing and you're going... And it's a great place to be. But they're never able to go and throw something super cool in there because they don't have anything developed. It's like meandering musically, right? And we need that, okay? But every once in a while, it's nice to be able to go from that into something that is a bit more elaborate. Whatever it is. I'm just going to see how this turns up. Let me start this jam track here. Again, I'm just going to kind of work across this. I'm not saying that that's my best work, right? But you get an idea of how I can kind of go from something that's melodic to something that's a bit more of a flurry of notes and then kind of go back and forth. And again, I would probably jam over this a little more, get a little more feel of what I want to do, but you get the idea. So to convince ourselves that we never want to play faster, we never want to do something that's repetitive, or we never want to play above the active thought level of, you know... And I'm not making fun of that. We all do it. But it's nice to be able to then... And then move back into it. So you play some sort of an idea. Whatever it is that you like. You know? It might be a pentatonic thing or a diatonic thing or a single note or single string thing. It could be a million things. But the point is, you kind of move in and out of those two worlds of this active thought kind of playing, and then you go into an automated thing where you've practiced this element, this lick, this pattern, whatever it is. And to be able to move between those two worlds and then also include the fact that you're playing in the confinements of some sort of scale gives you a better understanding of why understanding these escape routes becomes a really important thing, okay? Because it enables you to start forward thinking. Even when you're playing something that's faster, that's automated, you're working your way to a place on your fretboard, and you're also working your way into a finger position so you can execute the next thing. And it's funny because I never really thought about that before, but I've been playing all my life, and you know, I teach people all the time about playing guitar, and it never really occurred to me just how crucial that element is because you're setting yourself up for the next thing. It's kind of like having a problem with being able to see one position on the guitar, but then you can't see the second position. So you can't combine the two. And once you really learn to see the two of them, you're like, wow, this is super cool because I can move back and forth. Well, as soon as that happens, you start having to be aware of this escape route idea because how you move into the second position or the first position or back and forth, if you will, is setting up what's going to happen afterward. So it's really worth thinking about, okay? So please make sure that you check out, you can click on the link or the button or whatever's there. Check out the course, see if it's something. If you solo at all or you're in the process of learning how to solo, it's one of those elements I think that's just really forgotten about. And it's why we play something super cool, but then we get stuck. And then we have to move and then play and then we play something super cool and then we get stuck again. It's trying to learn how to break out of that. I think that's really important. Okay, so... let's keep going here. Thank you so much. Hopefully you're enjoying this. Please let me know if you are enjoying this. And if you have any questions, we're going to try and get to those as soon as we can. It's not always easy. Usually I'm teaching, so I'm not answering the questions and things like that. But we will get to you as soon as possible, okay? So you've got the PDF, and you can hopefully you're making notes and things like that and things you think that you're going to be able to utilize. So the next thing to talk about is direction, okay? Giving your solo purpose, okay? Which for me, oftentimes is melody, okay? That's not always the case. If you're playing a cool metal solo, sometimes you're not just looking for melody. Sometimes you're looking for aggression through that repetition, all those things that we just talked about. But I want you to be aware, and this goes back to the first thing we talked about, the more you can start learning how to see a scale and a chord or a group of chords all in the same place, the more you can really start capitalizing on melody, whether you're thinking of it from the logical theory perspective, because you know all your notes and all that sort of thing, or you're just thinking of it from a visual perspective. And let me show you real quick what I mean by that. I don't want to take you all your whole day here talking to you, but let's say I was doing something with G. Okay, now this might be a little bit out of your wheelhouse, but just bear with me for a second. Let's say I was doing something with the G chord I've got sitting. We'll do this G. So what I've done is I've taken a C chord and moved it all the way up. So I'm playing 10, 9, 7, 8, 7. That's my G chord right there. Okay? And then the next chord comes up is B minor. Okay? Well, now I'm playing 7, 9, 9, 7, 7, 7. Okay? And then C pops up. Okay? Well, C is the next chord. Well, I've got C sitting right here, which is 8, 10, 10, 9, 8, 8, which is right next to the B minor, of course, but you add the middle finger on. Okay? And then D pops up. Well, I don't really have a D sitting there real great unless I go to this one. Okay, so what I'm doing here is I'm making a G chord moved up until it gets to D. And all these chords are based off what we call the caged chording system. Okay, so there's my D chord sitting right there. But then I need these sevens. So now what happens is I've got a G major scale sitting right here as well. And then I've got these chords sitting here. So when the G chord is being played, I start thinking about, and then B minor comes up. I can see that B minor and I can see my scale at the same time. And C comes up. Sorry, wrong note. I need C. There we go. There we go. And then the D chord pops up. Now let's just try and put those together. And again, I don't want to play really fast. I want you just to see the real basic idea of how this works. So I'm using the G major in these chords. Okay, and you wind up getting all kinds of different sounds from doing this, from southern rock to pop to rock to all sorts of things in between. But you can see the vast difference here is that you've been utilizing what you can see and what you can play and your ability to meander through this scale. And you're now trying to give it some phrasing and some definition by trying to emphasize the right notes at the right time. Even if you don't know your theory and you don't know what they are, I'm not saying don't learn it. I'm not saying it's not important. What I'm saying is everybody's different the way that they learn. But you can see how as you start moving down this whole process, your solo starts sounding a lot more like what a solo should sound like. So next time on the Steve Stein Guitar Podcast, it was absolutely life-changing to me when I started learning this stuff because I just used to play by chance. And I was pretty good at it. You know, I could make stuff up pretty well, depending on the situation. If I was out of my logical element, the place that I was most comfortable, I was in trouble. And so I started realizing that in my line of work, I wanted to play with lots of different people doing blues or rock or metal or pop or whatever. I wanted to do it all because for me, guitar playing is the fun of the guitar. Hey, Steve Stein here from GuitarZoom.com, and thank you so much for listening to this podcast. If you enjoyed this episode, can I ask you a favor? please subscribe, leave a review, and share it with a friend. Your feedback means more to me than you'll ever know. And be sure to check out my YouTube channels where you'll find over 1,000 videos to help you with your guitar playing. Thanks again for listening. Stay positive, keep playing, and keep having fun.
If you'd like some help with your guitar playing, but you're not sure how to get started, go to GuitarZoom.com and look for the Help Me Choose survey. By answering a few simple questions, you'll get Steve's personal recommendation of the perfect course for you. All this and more is available for you at GuitarZoom.com.